Hello,
and welcome to Dennis Wing Commuter Audio Series on the ear training, part number 3. Congratulations if you've listened to 1 and 2 and you're still smiling, or at least still breathing. And if you've made it this far and you're actually still interested in the third volume, I congratulate you just for the progress you've made. And I welcome your feedback about people have already... students have already told me about how they've been able to hear intervals and everything, and how it's helped them in real life musical contexts. And now they're asking deeper questions, which frankly I'm not sure is going to be able to be sort of, you know, magic wand waved by me to answer all your questions. You know, harmony, melody and harmony and ear training, you know, it gets deeper and deeper, and there's more and more permutations and ramifications and all kinds of Asians. Immunizations, I don't know. Anyway, what we're going to do, there's several different sort of major topics we're going to discuss. I'm going to tell you what those topics are first, but before we discuss any of them, I'm going to take a real-life example of a pop tune and analyze it on the fly, like a song I've never even heard before. So what we're going to discuss in this, we're going to review all the intervals without having to use musical examples. So you can just practice your ear training. You can listen to it over and over, or throw it in the trash. I don't care what you do, but listen to the intervals over and over, and then you can start to internalize them without having to reference or think about your reference songs. You know, those were just the vehicles to get you there. We're also going to talk about, like, how to harmonize a song. You know, you're not expected to sing the main part. Suppose you're a backup singer or something, and you're going to do the harmony part to a melody. How do you find the appropriate notes for that? We're going to talk about how to find your key, your ideal key for your voice, and stuff like that. But again, you know, I don't know if this CD is going to be able to be answer all your deeper questions. It's an ongoing process. You know, I'm still developing my ear. There are still times on the bandstand where I don't hear a chord, or it doesn't come to me right away, and I think to myself, oh, I'm getting a bit soft here, you know. It's an ongoing process. But the joy of it is, and this is why I want to start with doing an actual live example, is because it's so much fun to just know. And when you know, and then you go on your instrument and you already know how to play it. And I've talked about this before, but let's just do a live example. So literally, I'm here with my little iPad, and I'm going to type in, you know, best pop songs of 2017. Right now, at the time of this recording, it's in the middle of 2017. And the reason I'm going to choose pop songs is because I'm not going to do some very difficult, you know, classical or jazz or progressive rock type piece where the harmony's all over the place and the melody's not easy to sing, okay? So I'm going to put this on pause for a second while I type this in. All right, so all I did was type in on Google best pop songs 2017. And so this is no value judgment by me whatsoever. In fact, I don't even think I've heard any of these, but 3 came up on the front. The first one is Shape of You by Ed Sheeran. Second one is Closer by Chainsmokers. And the third one is It Ain't Me by Kygo, K-Y-G-O. I'm going to pull up the first one on Spotify. Hold on. All right, so I got the first one, Ed Sheeran, Shape of You. Let's listen to it. Hope you can hear that okay.
The club isn't the best place to find the lovers, so the bar is where I go. Me and my friends sat at the table doing shots, tripping fast, and then we talk slow. Come over and start up a conversation with just me, and trust me, I'll give it a chance. Now take my hand, stop, and the man on the jukebox, and then we start to dance, and now I'm singing like...
All right, so the very first thing I notice is that the tune is in a minor key, and that the tonic is... You know, and so if you're not sure about how to even get that, what's the last line, in this case, the first chord and the last chord are the same, but that might not be a foolproof way to do it. Better way to do it is the last note of the phrase he sang. Listen to that line right
there.
Here it comes.
And then we start to dance, and I'm singing like, girl, you know I'll...
That. That's it. You came back to the tonic. If you had to summarize, pick one note to summarize the whole tune, it would be that. Now, what key is that? Let's leave that out for a minute. Let's just talk about the intervals, okay? So, the second thing I'm going to do is the progression. I hear the minor chord. How do I know it's a minor chord? Because the chord doesn't sound like That note is too happy. It's So that's a minor chord. The reference I think we did was Smoke on the Water. That's a minor third, right? Alright, so here we go. So I hear boom, doom, 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 doom. Now, in the previous sessions, I never really talked about, you know, going down. I always talk about going up. And it's, to me, it's less confusing. Other books, like I said, do it differently. You know, so instead of analyzing boom to doom, I'm going to stick the up an octave and compare that to the tonic. And immediately I hear, well, I already knew what it was. I'm just demonstrating. Here comes the bride, right? So I got one and four, right? So that's my, and is that a minor or a major? Well, some of this stuff has to do with music theory, you know, and this is, I think, beyond the scope, maybe beyond the scope of this ear training piece, but when you have a major... I should get the guitar for this. When you have a major key, the harmonized scale goes major, minor, minor, major, major, minor, half diminished. Okay, I got the guitar. When you're in a major key... Sorry, I think that's out of tune. One second. So, major, minor, minor, major, major, minor, half diminished, and back to the major. Right? Excuse my singing. This beyond the scope of this. If you don't know that and you want to pursue basic harmony, you should listen to my other series, The Music Theory. The other series, The Music Theory series. But for now, we're going to go just assign Roman numerals to each one. One is major. It sounds like the Apple Jacks commercial. A is for apples, J is for Jacks. Right? I'm dating myself over here, but you knew that already. One is major, two is minor, three is minor, four is major, five is major, but often is a dominant, which has a flat seven as well as a major triad, but that's beyond the scope of this conversation. And then the minor is six, and half diminished is seven. All right, when you do a minor progression, now the six of the major becomes the one. So we're in the key of C, just to ground you for a second. We're in the key of C, and the sixth chord was A minor. Now I'm going to play the exact same chords in the exact same order, but starting and ending on A minor. All right, again, this is beyond the crash course in music theory, harmonized scales, it's called. We got A minor. Now the one is suddenly minor, because six, what was six is now one. One is minor. Two is half diminished, three is major, four is minor, five is minor, but a lot of times it becomes dominant just like in the major. Six, which is a flat six, is major, and seven, which is a flat seven, is a major as well, and then we're back to the minor. So, in a minor scale, I should have talked about that as well, it goes, the intervals of a minor scale, the pure minor, there are several types of minor, is one, two, flat three, four, five, flat six, flat seven, one, or eight, going back down, eight, flat seven, flat six, five, four, flat three, two, one. All right, why do we need to know all this? Well, what we're doing is we're diagnosing the harmony of this song, Shape of You. Why do you need to know the harmony if you just want to sing the melody? Well, the two are so interchangeable. You know, there's a word in music class or universities, whatever. It's called harmelodic. Harmelodic is a way of saying, well, we know that melodies and harmony are so intertwined that they can't sort of be studied without each other. You know, so you're going to hear me reference a lot. And of course, being a guitarist, you know, probably more than any other instrument, certainly more than like a wind instrument where you're only reading single notes, you know, and guitar, you study chords right away. And piano, of course, too. Guitar and piano. But maybe even more in guitar, because in pop music, the guitar is simply accompanying a voice. And so, you know, a lot of guitarists, myself included, as of like however many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I was a lot stronger in harmony than I was in melody. And that's probably still true for me to a certain extent, although I've gotten a lot better, right? But, you know, since guitarists, even you know, sort of advanced intermediate guitarists can write songs and, you know, they can write a chord progression. They don't have to know any music theory, and they just kind of make up a melody over it, and they're happening. You know, and I've worked, and there are famous examples of people like that. The Beatles did not read music. This is in no way, shape, or form dissing the Beatles at all. I love the Beatles. I think they're a genius, and I mean that sincerely. But my thing about the Beatles is, you know, they spent many years on the Reeperbahn in Germany, you know, playing all the popular music of the day before they branched out into their own. So they had a ginormous exposure to, not just exposure to, but they were actually playing music of all different, from, you know, from skiffle music to I'm not going to go into music history here, but you know, R&B and all the influences that were at that time in Germany in the, I guess, what, late 50s, early 60s. This is not an attempt to be a music historian, but all those experiential knowledge is not the right word. All that experience seeped into their playing, so they had ginormous amounts of sort of intuitive theory, if you will. All right, I know I'm digressing again, but you're a captive audience, so what? So they had a ginormous amount of experiential, you know, and then it fueled their powerful imagination, and they were able to take it to heights that the world continues to stagger the world to this day. You know, it's amazing watching my 10-year-old son get into the Beatles just like I did, probably around that same age, and just be blown away and want to listen to stuff over and over and over. It's amazing. Boy, I digressed on that. But the Beatles, their sort of harmonic, their theoretical harmonic, you know, knowledge may not have been, you know, John Lennon, for example, wrote brilliant songs. He would always put in some sort of unorthodox chords. And this is, you know, why some people say, well, I don't want to learn theory. It's going to stifle my creativity, you know. And I think in some cases, musicians' creativity, I have to be careful how I say this. Musicians who pay more attention to the math part of music and not give enough attention to developing their own imagination can start to become limited by their own sort of fortresses that they build, you know. So that's a whole nother topic, you know, and I'm going to avoid that right now and try and dig myself out of this hole I just dug. So going back to the theory thing, you know, why in this particular case, how is this going to help me learn this song, harmonize with this song, sing it in my own key? Maybe I should do all the examples that I said we were going to talk about just based on this song. So let me get on with it. I hear a minor chord, and I'm gonna actually put the guitar down so you don't think that I'm gonna figure out the chords ahead of time. I already know what the chords are, and we identified the one chord is minor, and then we had a four, and that's our point of digression. How do I know whether the four is minor or major? Well, I can listen to it, and I will show you that it's minor, but in my music theory, based on that example I just did, the four is minor. Just because in a minor key, you know, unless it's non-diatonic, which in my ear is going to immediately hear that there's something different going on. You know, I already know what a harmonized scale sounds like. So I'm all over the place in this CD, and that's okay. You'll learn what you're going to learn or not, and that's about it. But here we go. We're going to go back to Shape of You. So I hear 1/4. Now what is that third interval? So I got so I got to go back to and I know what it is, but I'm giving you the example slower than I normally would. Suppose you can hear what that is. You cannot, right? So let me break it down further. Is it a short interval or a wide interval? It's a wide interval. Right? And again, notice how I went above the octave, because that's how I learned it and that's how I'm teaching it. You know? So if you're, let's try singing a minor, okay, this is where the theory comes in. Let's try singing a minor scale based on the tonic there. It would be 1, 2, flat 3, 4, 5, flat 6, flat 7, 1. My voice is not suited for this key, so I'm going to go down an octave even sooner to spare you having to listen to me sing it that high. 1, 2, flat 3, 4, 5, flat 6, flat 7, 1. And anyway, the point of the story is, is the same as 1, 2, 3, flat 3, 4, 5, flat 6. Right there, there's my answer. All right? So I got 1, 4, flat 6. And then the next chord, is it going up or down from flat 6? It's going up. And is it? Does it sound like it's outside the key or in? It sounds like it's in. Therefore, it must be a flat 7. All right. So there's your knowledge of harmony is such that it'll help you. So it goes as you advance in. Let me just summarize. As you advance in ear training, your knowledge of music theory and harmony will inform your recognition and your understanding of how the whole thing works. I don't know if I can make an analogy there or something, but you know, knowing the parts of a whole, how to fixing a bicycle, for example, you know, if you only knew one or two pieces, how they go together, anything outside of that, it's hard to, you know what I'm trying to get at. So let me go back. I'm digressing all over the place. So I got a 1, 4, flat 6, flat 7, yeah. 1, 4 minor, flat 6 major, flat 7 major. 1. Let's see if there's another section. The same chord progression over and over, and how are you gonna go further with the melody? All right, here's the chorus. It's coming up. Here it comes. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet, although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with your body. Last night you were in my room, and now my bedsheets smell like you. So it's a pretty easy melody. It's just a so I hear that as you know, that's 1 flat 3. Can I just stop saying flat 3 from now on? For the rest of the example, I'm just going to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to mean 1, 2, flat 3, 4, 5, flat 6, flat 7, because we're in a minor key and we know the 3, 6, and 7 are flat. If you don't, go and do some music theory work. All right, I'm going to move on. So, you know, it's 3, 4, 5, 4, 3, 4, 1, you know, and it's just, and I also heard that they went up to a 7 at one point. So if I'm going to put this in my key, if I was going to sing this, if I had been asked to sing this for some occasion or something, I would, let me go back. I'm in love with your body. Now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day Wait, hang on, hang on.
Grab on my waist and put that. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with your body. Last night you were in my room.
Right there. And I know that's the 7, so I got my guitar now, so I know we're in C sharp, and so the chords must be C sharp, and F sharp minor, and A, and B, and that's the whole song, and I can put everything. I don't know. So the highest note is here is like the 7, which is a B, and the lowest note is the tonic, C sharp. So that's how I figure out what key. Like, my voice is kind of like between, my sound best between sort of A and A, you know. And so if I put this in A minor, how can I transpose this so quickly? Well, it's 1 to 4 to 7. I mean, to 6 to 7. I played it right, I just didn't say it right. For the music geeks, it's A minor, D minor, F, and G. How did I do that so fast? I just took the same progression, which is a big Roman numeral 1, Roman numeral 4, Roman numeral 7, and Roman numeral, I'm sorry, Roman numeral 6, and then Roman numeral 7, and stuck it in a lower key that I like. So I would be like, I'm in love with the shape of. And it's really that easy. I don't know, so is this really helpful? You know, you decide. See if there's anything else in this song rather than just very predictable diatonic harmony. Not to diss the song. 1, 3, 4, 5. Sounds good enough for me. Let's move on.